Welcome to another edition of TJ Slideways Live here on racesontheweb.com. I'm your host, TJ Buffenbarger, coming to you live from the Engine Pro Studios just outside of Grand Rapids, Michigan. Of course, all of our guests tonight will appear via the Rocket Headers Hotline. We'll take your questions during the show. You can email them to TJ at TJSlideways.com. Use our Twitter account at TJ Slideways and also our Facebook fan page on TJ Slideways. Later on in the program, we're going to have the Dominator, Zach Dom, one of the hottest midget car drivers in the country, managed to get the feature win on the last lap Sunday night at Angel Park Speedway. And so far this year, he's won in Power Eye, the USAC National Midget Car Series, and also with Badger. So it's quite an accomplishment. Of course, there's a really big midget car weekend coming up with Power Eye and the USAC National Midget Car Series and also the Badger Group over the weekend. But I am glad to have on the hotline right now our first guest, whose racing season came to an abrupt end at the Butler Motor Speedway a couple of weeks ago and suffered an injury to his neck. And he is currently on the mend, but feeling well enough to join us tonight. I am glad to welcome Greg Wheeler, the Wheelman, on the line joining us. Greg, thank you for taking time out to join us.
Well, TJ, thank you. It's a pleasure to be with you tonight.
First of all, let's talk about what happened at Butler. How did the incident occur?
Well, we was running a heat race, and I started second, and I worked my way up to the lead, and got the white flag, and turned the car down in to one, just like I had done the previous seven laps before, and the car felt funny. It felt totally different, and I turned the wheel again. Then all of a sudden, it just snapped and went straight to the right, flew off the track between turn one and two there by the treehouse. And it kind of never really upset. It just went in the air probably 15, 18 feet. And when it come down, it landed flat on the wheels. And at that time, I heard my neck snap, and I knew that things weren't great. But I slid back down the hill and got down to where they've got the dirt piled up so that you don't run into the trees down there. And I looked up, and it looked like the 5th Cavalry coming over the top of the hill. I mean, you know, I raced at Butler a lot of years, and I know everyone up there. And they came down to the car, and I told them, I said, boys, I said, I know I broke my neck. And so they was really, really careful, did a fabulous job to get me out of the car, and then proceeded to take me to the hospital, got me down at Coldwater. They did the MRIs and CT scans and told me that I had fractured my C2, which is, they call it the hangman. And they was getting ready to transport me to Bronson, Michigan. And I said, wait a minute, boys, we're going the wrong way. I live in Indiana. So then they took me to Parkview North in just north of Fort Wayne and proceeded to get me, you know, basically started on the mend. And then they put me in a halo on that Monday night. And basically they had me on morphine and Vicodin, and I knew that if I didn't get off the morphine and Vicodin, or, you know, throttle it back a little, I was not going to get out like I wanted to, because most racers hate hospitals, and my main objective was to get out and walk the halls. And they did that on a Monday, and Thursday morning they came in and said, you can go home. So after that, I got out and got home, and now I walked around fear and lightning.
And at this point, how long are you going to have the hardware on?
Well, they're saying anywhere up to 3 months, but, you know, it just depends on how things heal and, you know, things of that nature. We go back Wednesday. They've got to look at I've got these titanium bolts that they basically bore into your skull and then anchor the halo to it. And I've got to go in this Wednesday, and they're going to check to make sure that everything's healing the way that they want it to, and they're going to check to make sure that none of the bolts and the apparatus that holds it together have come loose and slipped out of position. So that's where we're at right now.
And just to make a note, you're not allowed to adjust those bolts yourself.
No, contrary to popular belief, they do give you a wrench with the darn thing. And one time I just couldn't pass up the opportunity to, as we called it in racing, we run the bolts. So I ran the bolts one time, and then I found out I wasn't supposed to be messing with these titanium bolts and this 11-pound piece that I wear on my head. So My wrenching days are over too. So
I kind of figured that you might be drilling it out to make it 10 pounds.
Well, you know, we're trying to lighten this thing up as much as possible, but you know, if you cut the wrong thing, then you got bigger problems. So, you know, I'm keeping my hands away from it right now.
And just for people that are listening in, Greg and I have a pretty good rapport, so we're okay with this joking around and stuff.
Yeah, absolutely. Yep. This isn't our first rodeo, right?
Exactly. So, and one thing we had talked on the phone before this interview, you had mentioned that everyone from the racetrack all the way through the hospital has been extremely helpful throughout this process.
Oh, yes, I tell you. It's just the people at Butler did a tremendous job, and I can't thank them enough. Because if they wouldn't have done everything that they did right, I might not be talking to you today. And we got to Coldwater. The people were fabulous there. We got to Parkview. The people were just unbelievable. I don't know. I got along so good with the people down in Fort Wayne that when they got another room to put me in out of intensive care, they found another room over on the other side of intensive care because they said that they enjoyed my company. And, you know, that says a lot when the people that they're helping you enjoy you being with them. That really means a lot to you, too.
Yeah, but like you said, you were up and walking like wasn't it, you told me a day after they put the halo on.
Yeah. My physical therapist come in. She's trying to find me. And she says, asked my nurse, said, where's Greg? He said, well, he's out in the hallway and he's out there doing laps. Well, you got to walk the halls and you got to climb the stairs because if you can't climb the stairs and you can't walk the halls, you know, they won't let you out. And she said, how long you been out here, Greg? And I said, oh, about 45 minutes. I'm on the last lap of a heat race. Well, she didn't know what I was talking about. I said, this is my seventh lap. I'm on my eighth lap now. So, you know, it was kind of a joke and we had a good time with it. And, you know, if they give you a bad scenario, you got to grab it and growl. So that's just what we're doing.
Greg Wheeler joining us on the hotline. So, and you also have an announcement for us as well.
Yeah. TJ, after 30 plus years of doing this race and sprint cars and things that I've done, I've decided that this is the time that I need to stop. I can still enjoy it, still do a lot of things, but I think it's a way of the man upstairs telling me that you need to stop.
And for those that don't know Greg out there, I'm not going to say that you're old because you haven't reached Hank Lauer age yet, but you're not a spring chicken.
No, sir. I'm 65 years old. I'll tell you that, and you don't realize it until you're racing against the guys like Ryan Grubaugh and Dustin Daggett and Ryan Rule and they put all their ages together and they're not even as old as you are. And, you know, there's a lot of guys that I've raced with, you know, over my career. I mean, you know, Brett Mann and there's just too many to even name. And, you know, I got phone calls from people that I raced with in USAC and cards and letters. And you don't realize how many people know you and care about you, until you're hurt.
Greg Wheeler joining us here on the line. And one thing about your career I've always found interesting, as we look back here on Greg Wheeler's career, your career spans a lot of different series, because I remember first seeing you kind of like at Warsaw with sprints on dirt and stuff.
Mm-hmm.
And then,
yeah.
And then I believe it was you and maybe it was George McCord the same year went for Rookie of the Year at the United States Auto Club.
Yes. Yeah, we did. And that year, we finished fifth in points in USAC. And, you know, my 15 minutes of fame as far as that was that Jeff Gordon finished ninth, you know. I just didn't have mom and dad to help me the way he did, but, you know, that guy's a real talent. I mean, I always got along great with Jeff when we was racing in USAC, and, you know, it was a good deal, you know. I mean, I was really proud to have the opportunity to be around him, so. I enjoyed it.
And then, of course, you did some auto value, you know, some sprints on dirt racing with that. But also, I believe it was a season with IRA, or did you do two with IRA?
Yeah, I think we did three altogether. Okay. Yeah, that's an education all its own, because those boys from Wisconsin and Illinois that we raced with, they're kind of like the deal when you go to Pennsylvania. You can just kind of plan on getting yourself beat up. And the thing they do is they make you, you either step up to the plate or you don't. And, you know, that's quite an organization. We'd drive from where I live in Columbia City to race in Wisconsin. A lot of times we'd go to Hartford and we'd run that Friday night and then we'd go on to Wisconsin. Well, shoot, we'd get up there in Wisconsin sometimes. It took us 12 hours to get back home. We just, you know, they, them boys race all over. I mean, that's a real organization there.
And when you go to something like that, how does it make you better as a driver?
Well, the level of competition is a lot greater. And if you want to make the show, you got to race hard. And so you consequently drive a lot harder and you do things. And we was always fortunate enough that I spent a lot of money doing this. And we always had, you know, really good equipment. And those guys all have good equipment. There's a lot of places you go, you might run into, you know, 15 cars that are really tough. And up there, every car that everybody had, you know, they had 35 cars. All 35 were really, really fast cars. And you had to drive a lot of times really beyond and above just to survive in that deal.
And of course, you did some more dirt racing after that, because when I made the transition from race fan to media member, it was about the time new 96 Speedway was starting up, and you were there. And I remember one particular memorable night that you did something very interesting to the race car, and you ended up winning the feature that night.
I don't remember what we did, though. You're going to have to help me.
I will help you with this, because I looked up the story. Blacktop setup.
Uh-huh.
Yeah, the track took rubber that night. You actually put an old Auto Value asphalt setup on the car.
Yes, we did.
And
yeah,
we changed all the features that night.
We put heavier bars in the car. We changed a lot, and we led every lap. And I think that night we might have run, you know, we might have been running 6.5 inches of stagger on the dirt, which was unbelievable. And I know you know Robert Flanagan. Robert and me was together for like 18 years altogether. I can't thank that guy enough either.
Yeah. And, of course, once that came to an end, you opened a really new chapter once you got through the dirt racing. You went blacktop racing.
Yeah. I sold all my stuff in 2001, went to drive for Tony Swanson. Tony's another super guy out of Atwood, Indiana. And, guys, we ran that. I raced for Tony for 7 years. We won the championship 3 times. Actually, was the first 3-time Haas champion. Finished second 3 times. Won a race in 2004 at Salem. And that was the weirdest deal I've ever seen in my life. I was, you know, driving my rear end off trying to catch the first place car, and I was the first place car. Come down back to the pits, and everybody's clapping, and I'm going, why are these guys clapping? I just finished second, you know. Got back to the pits where my guys were at, and Robert says, you won. I'm like, wow, you know, we have a picture down at the shop, and I had a smile that went from my ear to my ears. It just was unbelievable. But, yeah, I drove for Tony for 7 years, and I drove for Ron Kohler for 1 year. Then I went back to the dirt. So, yeah.
And you did drive for Scott Hall for a little bit, found some success there. But you ended up scratching the itch, and you went out and got your own race team back together.
Yeah. It took me 10 years to save all the money that I needed to go out. And Robert called me up, and we got to talking last year, Robert Flanagan, and we put a team together in about 3 months. We bought truck and a trailer, bought one of Tim Schaefer's cars off of Aaron Call. We got a new Shark engine out of Cedro Woolley off of the boys out there. We spent the money, put the team together. I'd always run 410 cars. I'd never ran a 360 motor. And we was just this year figuring out how to make the car, how Greg liked the car and how I had to drive the car to get to the positions that we wanted to be in. And then, you know, unfortunately this happened, but hey, we learned, and that's where we are.
And not only that, but you didn't go out running bad. I mean, you led the season opening event at Crystal Motor Speedway.
Yeah, we we can read about that because you wrote about me, and I like you said, I just needed more caution laps because I needed to catch my breath for these young guys that was, you know, was doing what they was doing. But, you know, we had a fifth place finish, and then we had a fourth place finish, and then we went to Ohio and run that Ohio deal, and we struggled the first 2 nights. And then the last night at Eldora, I found the bottom. I had fell back. We qualified that night because they do group qualifying, and they had like 33 cars, and we timed in like 12th fastest. And that's the only thing I don't like about drawing numbers. You draw a number and you got the kiss of death for the rest of the night. You go out and you qualify. At least you determine your own destiny. And we went out. We missed it by one in the heat race. And then I started fourth in the B, and I fell back to like eighth or ninth. I found the bottom and drove the car back to third. You know, that was a highlight of a night because I was the only one down and running the line that Bobby Allen made famous, you know. And we was running the corners like we used to do at Butler when they had the wall around the inside. I mean, I put the left front tire, you know, 3 inches from the wall and drove around the bottom, you know, and that was an accomplishment. And, you know, just, you know, things of that nature. And I think that things were coming together, but, you know, unfortunately things happened too.
One other memorable moment I remember from the last season was your first Canadian Nationals as well.
Yeah, that was a fabulous event. I'll tell you, if people haven't ever done it or been to it, they need to go, because I'll tell you, that's the best and the around that there is in that with the 360 stuff. And those guys, they put on a fabulous show, and I tell you, I really enjoyed that.
And when I was at I-96 for the USAC show, I was thinking about you quite a bit, because there's a many a night we sat in that pit area after the races and got a racer education on, and some nights we even saw the sun come up, I think.
Well, you know, hey, TJ, you know, you can never say we didn't have a good time. And Mike Streville, the guy that runs SOD now, I mean, gosh, he was the announcer there, and you know, that's like that night that we went up there. I think 2 weeks before that, that's when we was running Lamb engines, those guys out of Kenosha. And we run three laps and the motor blew up. And, you know, everybody's questioning what the motor was like and this and that. And then we went out and won the darn thing and led, you know, wire to wire. And, you know, it just, you know, I've had a lot of wins. And, you know, when we was running 96, we was running that IRA deal. We was also running for the championship at Hartford. Well, we won the championship at Hartford, you know, in 1996, and then we, you know, we ran that IRA deal, and we skipped the show because IRA has a deal that you can't run the same night in the same state. Well, we was up in the UP at Manistee running a show, and of course Hartford's in Michigan, and so I skipped that night and went to run the IRA show. And well, they made it double points night, and I really had to drive, you know, pretty hard after that to win that championship. But I wanted it, you know, and so we was fortunate enough to get it.
And Greg Wheeler joining us here on the line. So now that you're going to take it easy, quote unquote, are you going to make your way out to the racetrack as soon as you're feeling up to it?
Yeah, we are. We have something that's happened, and this is another piece of breaking news for you too, TJ.
Should I cue the music here? There we go. We've got breaking news from Greg Wheeler. I don't get to use it that often, so I mean, you gotta take advantage of it while we got
good.
It. Right?
You're pulling right, way back into your repertoire there, ain't you?
I am. So,
yeah.
So you have some breaking news for us. What's up?
Well, what we've had happen since this all basically transpired, we was talking to some people that night at Butler Motor Speedway. We had another car, and they're wanting to get their boy into sprint cars. Well, since this all transpired, they are now buying everything that I own, and we're gonna work on bringing this young man up. Robert Flanagan's gonna be their supposedly the crew chief, because they don't know anything about sprint cars, but they do know about mini sprints. Kid's a very good mini sprint racer, and I don't know, and I know you know who he is. I think you have an idea. And what I'm gonna try to do is work with him and help him to learn how to drive sprint cars. So I'm going to hopefully be still involved in the deal, but it's the Ridenhours.
Well, that's in Chase Ridenhour. That's going to be a really neat deal, because not only that, but I think you've got a lot of knowledge to pass on to someone, and we love having you around, so we don't want to see you go. So.
Well, you know, we always had a good time, and that's what everybody said is that, you know, they always saw me smiling. Well, the reason I was smiling, it was what I was going to do that was going to be ornery the next time down the highway, too, you know.
So, Greg Wheeler joining us here. So, good news. Greg is going to be tutoring Chase Ridenhour in the future here. So, when might we see him out? Are we thinking this for next year or maybe even later this season?
Well, the way it sounds is Rick wants to do some testing, okay? We got to be able to be in a position where we can say, okay, we want you to run this car at half throttle. We want you to run so many laps at half throttle. We want to work with him and try to show him different setups and things of that nature. I think that if we bring him along slow, kid's got unbelievable talent. Kid's fabulous talent. I think he will, you know, he's one of those that can go a long ways. I really do. Robert's seen him race a lot since I've been hurt, and he said the kid does great in traffic. He has awareness around him. Those are things that you can't teach, you know. I was always told that you can slow a guy down, but you can't speed a guy up. And I think this will be a beautiful thing for them. And if I can be part of it, that would be nothing that I would like any more than to be part of that deal.
And Robert's a pretty good wrench himself too, so he's getting a pretty good tutor, but he's also getting a pretty good mechanic out of the deal too.
Oh yeah, he is. I'll tell you, Robert Flanagan's one of the best that there is. Me and him have been together so long that all we had to do was look at each other, and we knew what we wanted to do. I mean, and the biggest thing was we was really getting the deal figured out this year, because, like I said, I had too much 410 in me, and I was used to getting away from somebody and then chasing them down. Well, 360s, you got to keep them wound up all the time. And we was getting to that point, and I think that, you know, you don't know. Could have been, might have been, should have been, never know.
Exactly. But, Greg, well, first of all, I'm glad you're doing great, and I can't wait to see you at the track again, hopefully very soon. And I'm sure you have some more people you want to thank that have maybe reached out to you during this process too.
Oh, yeah. Well, there's a couple people that really I want to thank, and that's Sue. She's my fiance, and you probably didn't know that I was engaged, but now you got some more breaking news. But a lot of people did. She ran the company when I was my plumbing and heating business when I was down. She kept the guys going. She made sure that they had, you know, they were at the jobs that they needed to be at. And basically kept things moving. I still am very limited on anything that I can do. It's still difficult with me getting around because of the stuff that I've got all hanging on my head. But, and, you know, then I've had some sponsors. Doug Richards Well Drilling, he's been a very good sponsor of ours. A guy named Merrill Allen, he owns Sterling Express Company. They're a trucking company. Then I've got another man, Bill Arnold from LA Electric. They've been great sponsors. Robert Flanagan, of course, I can't thank him enough for everything he's always done for me. Actually, the car, when we crashed that night, has been staying in Michigan at his house because it's going to go down the road about 20 miles, probably about Thursday or Friday, and that's where it's going to live from then on. But, you know, then he's got an uncle that helped us, Ron Monroe. Ron helped us a lot. He was the guy that ground the tires and did the stuff that, you know, that you need somebody to do. And I had another man that would come to the shop because I live in Indiana. Those boys are in Michigan. Mike McCoy has been a friend of mine forever. He started helping me last year after we got back into the dirt racing, and basically kept me sound and kept me so I didn't go insane, because I was trying to do all the maintenance on the car, and he would come down to the shop every night, and we always had the car loaded. If we was racing on Friday, we had it loaded on Thursday, or if we was racing on Saturday, we had the car loaded on Friday. And I can't thank Mike enough for all the time that he put into this effort too. And there's just a lot of people that have sent me cards and letters. I got stuff from Auto Value, AVSS. I got stuff from Haas. I got stuff from Sod. I mean, it's just all the people that I've been around all these years that have, you know, they make you feel like they, you know they care, but you don't really realize it until something happens.
Greg Wheeler joining us. Well, Greg, thank you for a lifetime of great memories. And you know what's awesome is we get to make a whole bunch more as soon as you get healed up and get back to the racetrack.
Oh, yeah. I can hardly wait, TJ. Maybe I can be your protege.
We can work on that.
Well, Dad does a good job, though, for you, too.
That's true. I don't think he's quite ready to retire yet.
No. I always enjoy talking with him, too. Your dad, I've appreciated all the time me and him have spent together, too.
All right. Well, we'll get this. We're not done yet, you know.
Oh, okay.
We're not burying you yet here. So we're going to keep going. But, Greg, thank you for taking time out with us. And feel free to join us anytime. And like I said, best of luck in your recovery. And look forward to seeing you here at the racetrack again very soon.
Oh, you bet, TJ. I enjoyed it immensely. Thank you.
All right. Greg Wheeler with the big news joining us tonight. And how about that? Chase Ridenour going to get in a sprint car. Greg and I go back. I mean, a long ways. And we used to have so much fun. There was a group of about four of us that would somehow migrate our way to the pit area, and we would sit there and cook food and tell stories till literally the sun came up on Sunday morning. In fact, as the years went on, it just kept getting later and later. And it was almost like a challenge to see if we could, how late we could make that go. So good to hear it. Greg's doing well. And that his recovery is going well. We're going to take a commercial break. When we come back, we're going to have Zach Dom, the Dominator, your winner Sunday night at Angel Park Speedway, joining us. And you're listening to TJ Slideways Live here on racesontheweb.com.
Engine Pro, the nation's leading specialty engine parts distributor, featuring name brand engine parts and custom engine kits sold by professional rebuilders. With 29 distribution centers providing engine builders and machine shops across the country with a full line of brand name internal engine components at competitive prices. Engine Pro is committed to building the success of their customers by offering competitive pricing, innovative programs, and knowledgeable sales representatives. For more information, visit our website at engineproparts.com. It pays to know a pro. Engine Pro. Tired of having black headers that rust and wear out too quickly? Then you need to get some Rocket Headers. Rocket Header produces exhaust for 360 and 410 sprint car engines, dirt and pavement, with mufflers and turnouts. Stainless steel construction, TIG welding, and polished finish make Rocket Headers the best value in the open wheel racing exhaust market. For more information on where to buy Rocket Headers, visit their official website at rocketheaders.com.
Jay Buffenbarger here for the National Sprint Car Hall of Fame and Museum in Knoxville, Iowa. The Hall of Fame continues to promote the future of sprint car racing by preserving its past. The museum is located in Knoxville, Iowa, and is open Monday through Friday, 10 a.m. to 6 p.m., and Saturday and Sunday from noon to 5 p.m. On race nights, the museum will stay open until 7 o'clock. Don't forget, race fans, one of the best ways that you can support the Hall of Fame is buying a membership. They start at just $25, and a basic membership gets you and a guest free admission to the museum and a 10% discount off in the museum store. Also, check with the Hall of Fame for suite tickets on the second and third floor for the 2013 Knoxville season. You can get information on all of this by going to SprintCarHOF.com, the National Sprint Car Hall of Fame.
There's a buzz in the bleachers, a rumble on the pavement, and the sweet smell of sprint car speed is in the air as Muncie Racing brings you the fastest short track event on earth. Watch as the most daring lead foots in the land stand on the gas and rock it around one of the fastest half miles in America. There are records to be broken and racing royalty in the pits. It's a flat-out, foot-on-the-floor sprint car fiesta, and you can't find this brand of adrenaline-soaked action anywhere else.
Friday Night Thunder returns to Oshwegan Speedway for the 2013 season, featuring the Corpac Sprint Car Series, Thunder Stocks, Mini Stocks, and Bombers every Friday night. For more information, call 888-720-7223 or visit OshweganSpeedway.com for more information.
Engine Pro, the nation's leading specialty engine parts distributor, featuring name brand engine parts and custom engine kits sold by professional rebuilders. With 29 distribution centers providing engine builders and machine shops across the country with a full line of brand name internal engine components at competitive prices. Engine Pro is committed to building the success of their customers by offering competitive pricing, innovative programs, and knowledgeable sales representatives. For more information, visit visit our website at enginepro.com. It pays to know a pro. Engine Pro.
Race fans, don't forget that you can listen to Race Talk Live here on racesontheweb.com or on WFNT 1470 AM every Wednesday night, 7 to 9 p.m. Eastern, right here on racesontheweb.com. Of course, this is TJ Slideways Live, TJ Buffenbarger here in the Engine Pro Studios, and joining us on the hotline now, your last lap winner Sunday night at the Angel Park Speedway, the Dominator, Zach Dom, joining us on the hotline. And Zach, congratulations on what was a pretty spectacular finish Sunday night at Angel Park.
Yeah, it was. Thank you. And we had 29 laps to seize weaknesses, and you know, it was just one of the benefits of running second. And Scott didn't know there was another line other than the cushion, and yeah, he made a little mistake in one, and I was able to capitalize that going out of the backstretch, and then it just helped us into three get the lead.
And from what I heard, you guys had one heck of a battle for the lead pretty much throughout the whole race.
Yeah, it was. I mean, we kind of sat in third and followed Felker and Patton there for about the first 16, 17 laps, it seemed like, and then Felker tried to make a move and came up a little short, and that let us get a run on him down the back stretch and, you know, kind of pass him the same way we did Hatton. And the bottom wasn't very good, one and two, so I just knew you had to stay up on the cushion down there. But turns three and four, the bottom, and I tried it a couple different times, and I never really worked out to success. And then we ended up getting Felker that way, but I just had a good run on him. It still wasn't very, the bottom wasn't there. That point in time, it seemed to come in a little bit better later in the race, and you know, that just helped us get enough to get by Scott.
And you collected the win at Angel Park. What does it mean for someone like you? You probably have heard about Angel Park your whole life and stuff. What does it mean to get a win there?
It's been on my bucket list since I was about 8. You know, as soon as we started racing midgets, or you know, even heard about midgets and started, I grew up around midgets forever, and you know, back when Mara, and you know, and that's been going to midget races forever, champ car races, and I mean, and it's just, Angel Park was always the holy grail, and it still is the holy grail of midget racing. I mean, that, and you know, it's, and ever, we went there when I was 16, you know, first couple races there, and I was like, man, this place is wicked, it's fast, it's, you know, it'll chew you up and spit you out, and, you know, with a junk race car, if you don't pay attention and you don't respect the place, and it's one of the places that it's just, I mean, it's just a very bad place to go race. I mean, just, I love going there. It's fun, it brings the best, I mean, you always have the best guys there, and guys up there that run their weekly are, I mean, Scott Hatton's got 38 or 54, I don't know, he's got a bunch of wins up there. You know, Brad Coon's got a bunch of wins up there. I mean, Rico has shown that he gasses it up, and he's good there. I mean, Clawson's good there. Everybody that's fast is always good at some prairie, and you know, and I mean, you can get a win there. I mean, I think you can win anywhere in the country.
Now, we were talking off the air. You had a little bit of a rough start to the season. Now, over the past month or so, you've managed to collect wins in the USAC National Midget Car Series, the Power Eye Series, and the Badger Midget Series. You've won in all three series. What has kind of been the catalyst for this turnaround of late?
I think we just got a little bit of luck. Early in the year, I mean, we haven't been horrible, but we haven't been great. And we've just kind of, you know, we ran third at Little Belleville. We ran fifth in Macon. Then we'd go to Jacksonville and we'd suck. And it's just like, you know, we just had to get a good balance, get a rhythm going, some momentum going. And soon midget week, you know, we started turning around a little bit, and, we was the same speed as everybody at Gas City, but we ran ninth. It's like, well, the car was good, it's just hard to pass. I went the next night to Putnamville and we're in the non-qualifiers race. And it's like, okay, now, you know, what are we doing wrong again? And then we go to Bloomington the next night and we set quick time. And it's like, okay, now we can start rolling. And then we end up breaking in a feature. So it's like, okay, well, what are we doing again? What are we doing wrong now? I went to Lawrenceburg the next night and just seemed everything clicked that night. You know, we ended up winning the feature there late in the race. And ever since then, it's just been rolling good. We've had momentum. I feel like when I make an adjustment on the car, I feel that it is the right one. I'm not second guessing myself. And, you know, and then I don't know. I might be totally off on the setup, but in my head it's right. And so then when I get in the car, I have a little bit extra confidence knowing that I think the car's right and I think that's what it should have. And I think at this point in time, when you're dealing with the caliber of cars that we are, that you can't beat yourself mentally. You have to think you're good when you go out there.
And of course you have a big weekend in kind of in your neck of the woods coming up. You have the Hutt 100 in the middle of the week, and then a huge weekend at Little Belleville.
That I've been looking forward to this weekend. Well, I guess more or less I was looking forward to the Hutt. I'm not a big fan of Little Belleville. It's one of the closest racetracks to my house, and I've ran, and I don't like it. I never have. I ran a late model micro midget there, and I've never been a fan of the place.
Is it just because it doesn't fit your driving style? What is it about it? Because that's kind of interesting. We don't hear drivers say they don't like something very often when it comes to racetrack. What is there something you put your finger on that just makes you go, this isn't for me?
Oh, I mean, I when we first started racing midgets, I liked it. They would prep the track where you could have two grooves. You could roll the bottom and you could roll the top, and it was fun. And then now it got to the point where it was just always on the cushion, and it was just everybody was just throwing slide jobs. But the bad part was that they weren't clean slide jobs. It seemed like every night you went there, you were replacing a front axle, two shocks, a header, a Nerf bar. And, you know, you go there and you do $1,000 worth of damage for nothing over some dumb slide job. And I just got to the point where I was fed up with it, and I quit racing there. Up until we ran there early this year, and I hadn't been there in 2.5 years. I'd go and watch. It got that bad. I went there a couple times. I just went and watched there and didn't race. And, you know, and just seems like now we've got to run there this year. I just kind of went in there with an open head, said, okay, we're just going to go have fun. We're going to figure out why, you know, just figure out where we can be fast and just try to get through the night and see what happens.
And, of course, you have the Hutt 100 coming up here at Tri-City. And with the Hutt, you've got a 100-lap midget race. And how do you approach that race differently as a driver at the longer distance in a midget, no less?
You have to be patient. I mean, that's, and just not the driver. I mean, the car has to be good, too. I mean, you have to make sure that the car will go 100 laps, because if the driver's ready and the car isn't, you're still going to be sitting in the infield watching the feature. You know, as a driver, you just have to be mentally prepared to either you're going to be good early or you're going to be good late. At some point in time, your car is going to be really good in that 100 laps. You have to pick, you have to figure out when your car is really good, and you have to make hay right then. Because the track is going to change a lot over 100 laps. I mean, it's just midgets and micros, and we don't run heat races, just going to qualify. The track should be good at the start of the race. And I have all faith that the Gundakers will have it good at the beginning of the race, and it'll probably be good the entire 100 laps. But it's going to change. The groove's going to move around, and you have to be mentally prepared to chase the groove. You know, if you're leading it, you just stick with your one groove until somebody shows you another faster groove. If you're in the back, you know that you got to go somewhere else. You got to do it. You know, you just kind of got to figure out where your car's working where. And the biggest thing, I think, is just going to be patience. We was lucky enough to win a Hutt a couple years ago at Hobstadt. And, you know, that was a – we were – I've didn't really approach it any differently than I would a normal race, other than just knowing that you had to go 100 laps. But at the end of the race, when I sat back and kind of replayed everything through my head, there was a lot of things that I did differently there than what you would on a normal 25 lap race. And just try to approach that the same way this year. Hopefully we come away with another one.
Zach Dom joining us. Now, you're a family owned operation. And when you go to these USAC races, you're taking on some pretty big factory teams, and you are having some success, but how challenging is it with your family-owned team to take on some of these mega teams that are out there on the national circuit?
It was a big obstacle up until, I think this year's really helped us with Toyota coming on board. I don't feel like we're getting outmotored anymore. I mean, I know we're not getting outmotored anymore. And that means a lot, especially qualifying, because we was always down on horsepower. So qualifying, you was always, even if you ran a perfect lap, you were 10th. You don't win USAC races coming from 10th. You have to start in the first three rows normally. I mean, everything has always got an objective, but, you know, it's hard to win starting from deep. And, yeah, and then, I would turn a tire around instead of put a brand new one on to try and save $150 here, $150 there. And I mean, it's tougher, I mean, for sure. But at the end of the day, you know, you just make the right, you know, as a driver and the crew chief, and you just hopefully you make the right call. And that's where guys like Keith Coons and Tracy Hines and Rusty Coons, and they don't second guess themselves, and that's where we kind of do. That's where I do sometimes, is you don't realize you haven't been around for 20 years and you don't have a hired guy doing your crew chief. So you have to make the call yourself. And that's one thing where I think they still outrun us that way, is, you know, they have a crew chief, and, you know, I think we're gaining on them. I mean, cause I've had a crew chief before in the past, and we didn't work all the time together. We was good on certain tracks, but we sucked on other tracks. And it's kind of got to figure out what works for you and try and beat them that way, beat them at your highest potential, not your lowest potential.
And another thing I've noticed is you do run midgets and you run champ cars. And a lot of guys that do this type of racing venture into some sprint car stuff. You really haven't done that, really, to an extent. Is that something you'd like to do eventually, or are you pretty much content right now with the midget and Silvercon deal?
I would love to run a sprint car. That's one of the things that I've wanted to, and I've sat down on paper and I wrote it down, what it would cost to do it, I don't know how many times. And I want to do it so badly. And I was all gung-ho on buying and putting one together this winter. And then the Toyota deal came about, and I was like, okay, let's focus on that. My dad has never been a big sprint car fan. He grew up late models. So never really liked the sprint cars much. I love sprint cars. Any chance I get, if I have a Sunday off, I drive over to Kokomo and watch. They're awesome cars, and 900 horsepower and, you know, 1200 pounds. They rip. They're fast. And in Indiana, you have the best guys there every night. So you're running with the best night in, night out. And something I want to do, but financially, we're not able to do it right now. I'd love to get the opportunity to do it, but it's hard for somebody to put somebody in a car that's not proven in this day and age, because it costs so much to go to the racetrack to take a chance on somebody that's never drove one before.
And you mentioned your family history more of late models and stuff. So how does a family that's involved with late models and stuff end up with a kid that wants to go midget racing?
Oh, because we went stock car racing when I was 15. I did have a late model, and had fun with it. We've always grown up, every time Mara was around, every race at Little Belleville. I mean, and when they would, we was always at those races. I mean, that's when you race quarter midgets growing up, you just kind of venture to that. And I don't know, is this a good spot for us to be in midgets? I mean, where we're at with the, you know, with the Gateway Series when we first started, now with the Power Ride, you know, we ran the micros, so that was kind of a feeder series right to the midgets. And we love these cars. I mean, they're neat pieces. And, you know, we love racing midgets, but, you know, we've talked about putting together a dirt late model. We talk about that every winter, and it's just not in the cards for right now.
And one other thing you do go champ car racing. And how much champ car racing are we going to see you doing the rest of the year, possibly?
We're gonna do Belleville, Kansas for sure, and then we're gonna hopefully get to run Springfield. Those are about the only ones that don't contradict with our Power Eye schedule. Springfield's still kind of up in the air because there's a race the day before, and then there's a race after the mile, and then one at Sun Prairie the next day. So you still have to maintenance the car and everything like that, and still drive to that the next race. And being by my, you know, doing the maintenance, just mostly me and my dad, it makes it hard to do it. So we're gonna, but our intentions right now are to run Springfield. Hopefully we can get that done.
And you mentioned you're going to go to Belleville with the champ cars. How do you think that race is going to go? Have you thought about what it's going to be like to race the champ car at Belleville?
I think it's going to be like driving a school bus around city traffic. I don't know. They're big machines. The midgets, I mean, you can cut them things. You can go in on the cushion, exit off the bottom. You kind of maneuver them things wherever you need to go because they're little, but they're fast. And I think the champ cars out there are going to be big old boats. And I think it's going to be a good show. I think it's going to be different than what a normal champ car race is. It's not going to be the miles where you're saving your tires, saving fuel, you know, just waiting for the last 50 laps or the last 20 laps. Belleville is going to be a long sprint car race. And since, it's just going to be, you're going to gas it up for 50 laps and you're not going to have to worry about saving a tire. You're going to go hard. And I think it's going to be a really good show, especially with the big cars out there. I don't see anybody that's not going to like the race.
All right, Zach Dom joining us. And Zach, well, best of luck the rest of the season and this weekend. And thanks for taking time out to talk to us. And hopefully maybe if you pick up a Belleville win or maybe a bigger win of the season, we'll get a chance to talk to you again later this year.
I hope so.
All right, Zach Dom, the Dominator, joining us. Thanks, Zach. I really appreciate it.
Thank you.
All right, Zach Dom joining us on the line. What a great young man. I had not actually met him until I called him roughly about 20 minutes ago. And we had talked about 5 minutes over electronic communication, and we're like, hey, I'm doing the show tonight. Let's go ahead and get you on after the big win. And a very personable young man. That's what we're finding. If you listen to the show, all these young guys we get on the show, very friendly, very talkative, very polished, too. And Zach's kind of cool because he's polished, but not so polished to where it sounds phony. He's just a regular guy and a family-owned team. It's neat to see that midget racing, too, a family-owned team having some success. But before we go to break, All-Star Performance would like to congratulate a few people on their feature wins over the past week. Of course, Shane Stewart picked up a feature victory on Ohio Sprint Speed Week, and they want to congratulate him for that. AllStarPerformance.com, one of our great sponsors here on TJSlideways.com. We're going to take a quick break, and then we're going to wrap up the show here on TJ Slideways Live.
Engine Pro, the nation's leading specialty engine parts distributor, featuring name brand engine parts and custom engine kits sold by professional rebuilders. With 29 distribution centers providing engine builders and machine shops across the country with a full line of brand name internal engine components at competitive prices. Engine Pro is committed to building the success of their customers by offering competitive pricing, innovative programs, and knowledgeable sales representatives. For more information, visit our website at enginepro.com. It pays to know a pro. Engine Pro. Tired of having black headers that rust and wear out too quickly? Then you need to get some Rocket Headers. Rocket Header produces exhaust for 360 and 410 sprint car engines, dirt and pavement, with mufflers and turnouts. Stainless steel construction, TIG welding, and polished finish make Rocket Headers the best value in the open wheel racing exhaust market. For more information on where to buy Rocket Headers, visit their official website at rocketheaders.com.
TJ AJ Buffenbarger here for the National Sprint Car Hall of Fame and Museum in Knoxville, Iowa. The Hall of Fame continues to promote the future of sprint car racing by preserving its past. The museum is located in Knoxville, Iowa, and is open Monday through Friday, 10 a.m. to 6 p.m., and Saturday and Sunday from noon to 5 p.m. On race nights, the museum will stay open until 7 o'clock. Don't forget, race fans, one of the best ways that you can support the Hall of Fame is buying a membership. They start at just $25, and a basic membership gets you and a guest free admission to the museum and a 10% discount off in the museum store. Also, check with the Hall of Fame for suite tickets on the second and third floor for the 2013 Knoxville season. You can get information on all of this by going to SprintCarHOF.com, the National Sprint Car Hall of Fame.
There's a buzz in the bleachers, a rumble on the pavement, and the sweet smell of sprint car speed is in the air as Muncie Racing brings you the fastest short track event on earth. Watch as the most daring lead foots in the land stand on the gas and rock it around one of the fastest half miles in America. There are records to be broken and racing royalty in the pits. It's a flat out foot on the floor sprint car fiesta, and you can't find this brand of adrenaline soaked action anywhere else.
Friday Night Thunder returns to Oswegan Speedway for the 2013 season, featuring the Corpac Sprint Car Series, Thunderstocks, Mini Stocks, and Bombers every Friday night. For more information, call 888-720-7223 or visit OswegonSpeedway.com for more information.
Engine Pro, the nation's leading specialty engine parts distributor, featuring name brand engine parts and custom engine kits sold by professional rebuilders. With 29 distribution centers providing engine builders and machine shops across the country with a full line of brand name internal engine components at competitive prices. Engine Pro is committed to building the success of their customers by offering competitive pricing, innovative programs, and knowledgeable sales representatives. For more information, visit our website at EnginePropartsCom. It pays to know a pro. Engine Pro.
Welcome back to TJ Sideways Live. Of course, race fans, don't forget, Sprints on Dirt coming up in 3 weeks at the Crystal Motor Speedway, live here on racesontheweb.com, live video and audio of the SOD NRA shootout at the Crystal Motor Speedway. That'll be a great show. So if you can't make it out to the racetrack, you can catch it here on racesontheweb.com. Of course, we have to thank Greg Wheeler and Zach Dom for joining us tonight. And if you're out there looking for a race for the holiday, July 3rd's your best bet. You have the, if you're in this area, you have the non-wing sprint cars at Kokomo. You have the Bob Reynolds Memorial with the SOD and NRA 360 sprint cars at Waynesfield Raceway Park. And the All-Stars are no longer racing in West Virginia, so you'll see several All-Stars there for the $7,000 payday. And you have those two options. And you also have the must-see racing, the Trufuel must-see racing extreme sprint car series at the Auto City Speedway. So you have Auto City, Kokomo, and Waynesfield, wing 360s, wing 410s on pavement, non-wing sprint cars at Kokomo. I mean, it's just awesome to live around here because those are your choices, and they're all about a three-hour drive from our studio here, or less. So what an awesome decision to have to make on July 3rd. Of course, coming up, the Brad Doty Classic, Indiana Sprint Week, and the King's Royal. We're going to be starting to ramp up the website for all three of those big events, and we are going to be at all three of them. We're sending the whole crew, throwing everything we have at it for at least the opening weekend of Indiana Sprint Week, the King's Royal, and the Doty. We're leaving no stone unturned on this thing. You're going to see us at our best, hopefully, and I hope we give you, the reader and the listener, what you're looking for out of those events, because we're looking forward to covering each and every one of them. So that's going to wrap up this week's edition of TJ Slideways Live. Of course, if you're listening live tonight on Monday, or if you're catching the podcast, thank you for tuning us in. We'll do it again on Monday next week, and also maybe a few special podcasts along the way that aren't live leading into the big races. So on behalf of everyone, TJSlideways.com, thank you, travel safely through the races, and good night.